welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How do you navigate through life in fulfillment of your dreams? A 31-year journey has brought head coach Dino Babers to Syracuse University. He began coaching as a graduate assistant at the University of Hawaii, with stops in Arizona, Illinois, Nevada, Indiana, California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, including championships. In the process, he's coached more than 35 players who have played in the NFL as running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. What was the process? Did his faith in God make a difference? Does the scripture, "with God, all things are possible," mean something to him? We pause for a moment, as we typically do at the Good Life Radio Show. The God of the impossible knows you, dear listener, dear friend. He loves you. He knows exactly what you're going through, even as he has known Coach Dino Babers and his family through the years. And our hope today is, in our conversation, for you to experience the love of God and the grace of God. And our hope is to bring you closer and closer to Christ, to the one who loves you and knows you and all that you're facing right now. Christ, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. Dear friend, he was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the lives of people like Coach Babers, can touch your life as well. Coach Babers is married to Susan. They have four daughters, Brianna, Tasha, Jasmine, and Paris. Coach Babers, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
I'm setting you up,
Coach.
You are. Out of all the questions that you asked me, I can give you direct answers except for that one. When you asked me where I grew up, I was born in Honolulu. I moved away when I was very young, and I started school in North Fork, Virginia. From there, I lived all over the United States, and I graduated high school in San Diego, California. So what I like to say is that I was born in Honolulu. I started school in North Fork, Virginia. I went to high school in San Diego, California, and I lived everywhere in between.
In those years, Coach, those early years, those impressionable years, who influenced you most during that time?
Wow. I mean, you're talking about from high school, from zero to high school. My mom was super spiritual. We used to go to church as often as we could. She made us go to Sunday school for sure every Sunday. And, God was a big part of our life back then. She used to tell us all the time to pray, and asking to tell you what, asking to guide you and tell you what you wanted to be. And, and I used to do that all the time. And then one time the word coach came to me. Wow. And at the time, I was a fat little mama's boy that wouldn't leave the house, and I didn't play any sports. But all my brothers played football. I have an older and younger brother. They both played football, so I kind of figured that was the sport I was supposed to coach. So I tried to start learning everything I could about football, and I started playing the game and kind of shed some of the baby fat. But that's kind of how it all got started when I was younger.
Well, you certainly did shed all that baby fat, because the Dino Babers that I met when I was when I was there in Hawaii, I was in awe. I was in awe of you and your physical presence and of course, of your abilities. How about coaching, Coach Babers? Who influenced you, you know, in your coaching career?
You know, I think I want to start with my high school coach. He taught me how to be competitive. John Shack was still alive today. I got a great opportunity of flying him out to see our MAC championship game versus Northern Illinois this year. Mm-hmm. And to have him witness one of his ex-players going through that, winning a championship. And I thought that he had a major influence on me. June Jones, my senior year when I moved to offense, and June Jones came over and started running the run and shoot, and which was totally different than anything we had done in the islands before. And to see how an aggressive offense can not only change a football team, but change a community and change the islands, how it got an entire island behind that. I thought that was really, really impressive. Later on, I GA'd for Mike March, the head coach for the Rams, the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams. Homer Smith, one of the fantastic Hall of Fame coaches, that bounced around between UCLA and Alabama. He was the guy that coached Troy Aikman at UCLA, a fabulous coach, had a major, major impact on my career. And then I would probably stop right with Art Briles. He taught me the advantages of the no-huddle offense, and I think those are the things that, along with the other men that I mentioned, and, of course, the Hall of Fame coach, Dick Tomey, taught me about team building and how to balance all that stuff between offense and defense and putting it all together and making sure that you had a team and not a bunch of individuals running out of the tunnel, I think, were the major influences in my coaching career.
Coach, one of the things that, as you went down the list, it's sort of like a coaching Hall of Fame when you both figuratively and literally in many respects, talked about different characteristics, different things that you learned along the way. What really stands out to me is your ability to distill lessons. It seems like through the process, you took something from everyone and then you blended it together. You sort of put it into the Coach Dino Babers blender of synthesis and came out with your own philosophy, your own understanding. How did that happen within you?
You know, I just think it had something to do, Danny, with my upbringing. You know, when I was moving around from North Fork, Virginia to San Diego, California, we had a lot of moves. We moved a lot as a family. My dad was in the military. He's passed away, but he was buried in the National Cemetery in Houston next to his brother. He was a 20-year Navy man. And, you know, I grew up in the 60s. I mean, I remember John F. Kennedy, my mom crying, and I was very young. I remember crying in the living room. I was alive when Martin Luther King was assassinated. So there was a lot of things going on in the 60s and the 70s. And the biggest thing was you had to get a feel for people. And people weren't always what they appeared to be on the good or the bad. And depending where you were in the north or in the south, you just really had to tune in and focus and pay attention to what was your surroundings and what people were saying in your surroundings around you in a positive and a negative fashion. And I think that really helped me as a student athlete, even as a student, that I really would tune in to what was going on and kind of had some common sense. You know, some CS, some common sense, and was able to use a great analogy to be able to distill what I thought was positive and what I thought was negative and filter out what I didn't want and keep what I think could be good and try to save it for an opportunity where it might be used to an advantage.
I think about you, Coach, as a coach, as a husband, as a father, and the journey that you have taken and the journey that you're on, this path. When we come back from our break, I have a question about faith. Really, Coach, how has faith made a difference in your journey as a coach, as a husband, as a father. Could we talk a little bit about that when we come back?
Absolutely.
Dear one, as we have the privilege to hear Coach Dino Babers today, there from the perch up on which he stands now, a real platform of influence there at Syracuse University. What happens to a person in reaching a certain level of influence, a certain level of impact? When we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more, a heart-to-heart, as we typically do on our program. With each other, yes. Suzanne Maurer, yes. And with you. You might be in a place right now where, yes, you say, Danny, I have my goal, I have my vision, I have somewhere a sense of direction, a strong sense of direction. But Danny, right now, it seems like I've gone sideways. It seems like I'm going backwards. Do you have a word for me? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you enjoyed this episode of The Good Life? We have hundreds of episodes ready to stream on demand. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com to find encouragement in business, relationships, athletics, and much more.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Oh yes, it's obvious. It's obvious and it's easy to see the image. I mean, we are plastered with images all the time, every day, bombarded indeed with images. And it's easy to believe when you look at someone or just hear someone, second, third, fourth party, talking about someone. But you better, when you hear it, at least have a question in your mind of asking what's really behind all of this. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show, and you might be saying, Danny, that was a bit cryptic, what you just described, coming back into the program. I'm going to explain in just a moment. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Program. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Our guest today, Coach Dino Babers. He's the head coach of the Syracuse University football team. You can find out more about him at Cuse.com. That's C-U-S-E.com. Coach Babers, before our break, I posed the question about faith. How has your faith made a difference in your journey as a coach?
I want to tell you a story, Danny, and it's a story about faith that really shaped me. Are you ready?
Give it
yes.
To us.
I was at Baylor University. I was driving down the freeway at about 80 miles an hour. With the cruise control on, and it was 2000. It was November of 2008, and I was driving along, and my left front tire blew out. Mm. And if you don't know this, when your tire blows out and you're on cruise control, you should just hold the wheel straight and once your speed slows down to a certain speed, the cruise control will just come off and you'll be fine. And I knew that, but for some strange reason, when that tire blew, I just barely tapped my brake and all heck broke loose. And I lost my left front tire, and my car was, it felt like it was about to go into one of those gator roads right into the middle part between the two freeways. And as crazy as this sounds, I heard a sound that says, turn your wheel this way. and or you could say a word inside of me. Turn the wheel this way. And if you'll like this part, Danny. I mean, first, I act like I didn't hear it. Then I heard it again. You know me, Danny. You know me. But then all this, and I heard it again. Turn the wheel this way. And my next response was, how do I know that's the right way to turn it? Now, I didn't say that verbally. This is all going on internally in a split second. I said, how do I know that's the right way to turn it? And the voice didn't say anything else like, if you're going to do what you want to do or you're going to do what I want you to do. So I turned the wheel, and instead of the car going into a gator roll, it reversed. It reversed, and now I was facing traffic, sliding from the fast lane to the slow lane. And when I reversed traffic, I had an 18-wheeler coming at me. And I can still see the blonde hair and the blue eyes today of the man that was driving that truck. And I saw the fear in his eyes, which let me know that I was in a bunch of trouble. And he swerved that thing to the fast lane as I was going through the middle lane. And I watched as that cab and the back of that truck barely missed me. And I'm still sliding to the slow lane, and now I have another car coming right at me. And that car, instead of hitting me head-on, jumped off on an off-ramp to my right, I mean to my left as I was facing his right, and saved me from that collision. I turned the wheel again, and I 360'd again, and I slammed on the brakes, and I stopped right underneath a sign that said, at the time, it was, I want to say it was West Texas A&M University. I want to say it's a smaller Texas A&M University. It's a BCU. I might have the wrong college, a historically black college. But it was right underneath the university, and I had a cousin at the time who was an All-American tailback at this school. So I'm sitting there with a 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock death grip on my wheel, and I see this man running back at me. I'm out of traffic, and this man has stopped his car, and he's running back towards me. And I must still be in shock at the time. And he knocks on my window, and I just look at him. And he gives me the motion to roll my window down, and I roll my window down, and the car is still running. And he's like, turn your car off. So I turn my car off. Put your car in park. I might put my car in park. It's like I'm a concussion, like whatever he tells me I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And then he looked dead at me, and he says, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And he says, I know you are because I'm a preacher. And based off of what I just saw, you should be dead. And before I could even say a word, he said, God must have great plans for you. And he says, have you called emergency yet? And I said, I haven't done anything. He says, I'm going to call emergency for you. Don't move. And as I see him running back through the front of my car to his car, I got two words again. Again, these are not words that my ears were hearing, words from the inside. Mm-hmm. And the two words said, don't settle. And after all this happened and they got the record, the car got moved, and I had a lot of time to think about what the accident, what had happened, and how I came through totally unscathed. And I said, what don't settle? What did that mean? What was he trying to tell me? What does that mean? And I couldn't figure it out, Danny. And so I wanted to follow his lead. It seems like a time where I was trying to manipulate everything instead of just letting go and following his lead. And I rededicated my entire life to following his lead. And I didn't know what don't settle meant, but that means I just knew I was going to do it. So I went back to work, and I didn't settle. You know, I went back to my marriage, and I didn't settle. I went back to my relationship with my daughters, and I wasn't going to settle. In my spiritual life, I wasn't going to settle. And that's been my rallying cry ever since 2009, is don't settle. Mm-hmm. And good things started to happen, and got blessed with a head coaching job. And the crazy thing is that any football team I've been on, it's one of the first speeches I give, is how we're not going to settle. We're just not going to be average. We're not going to settle. I should have hashtagged and patented it, because this year that Settlers commercial came out, and I'm like, God, they stole my thing. True story.
You have the story. You have the story, Coach. Now, what difference did that make in your family life?
Well, I it's put it like this. I was raised very spiritually, and I felt like I had gotten away from it. You know, I had a daughter that was probably atheist or close to it. I had three other daughters that really wasn't back into the church. We really weren't living the life that we should be living. And I rededicated myself back to the Lord. And whether they followed or not, that's where I was headed. And I just prayed that God would bring them along with me. And Lord and behold, I've got, you know, I got a wife. I got four daughters that I think are definitely walking down the path. And I think all those blessings came from him. But he had to get me right so that I could lead before they could follow.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Jim Brown, Ernie Davis,
sir.
First African-American mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winner, Floyd mm-hmm. Little, Larry Zonka, Art Monk, mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison. We can go on and on. How does it feel, Coach, to be coaching at such a storied program as Syracuse?
It's unbelievable. The tradition's unbelievable. I've met Art Monk. Floyd Little is an amazing man. Of course, Ernie Davis has passed away, but he's the first Black Heisman Trophy winner. Jim Brown called me, and I thought I had great command of the King's language. But when Jim Brown spoke to me, it was like I had a speech impediment. Mr. Brown! I mean, what icon. And what we've got to do here, Danny, is we've got to find a way to bridge that past to the present. And we have such a rich history in the past, and it's probably beyond most of the young recruits that we're recruiting, but it's not past the parents that had them. And if we can find a way to bridge that past to the present, I think the future will be really, really bright for Syracuse University.
You know, I recently read an article, an ESPN article, where you talked about the upcoming season, saying, you know, quote, we're going to go out and make things happen. They could happen quickly in a good manner or a bad manner, but they'll happen quickly. We're not going to be bunting. We're swinging, unquote.
Yes, sir.
Coach Babers, where did, you know, the terminology, the figurative speech, what's the sense that just resounds inside of you to speak in that way?
You know, I've been in a lot of classrooms. When I was moving around with my dad, I've been in areas where the entire school was Caucasian, and there was like three or four African-Americans in the entire school. This was the 60s. And then we could move two or three years later, and the 99% of the school was African-American, and there was like 2 or 3% Caucasian. And it was almost like the school switched back and forth like a checker game. And what I really learned is that people have certain ways that they talk. These people have certain ways that they talk, and these other people have certain ways that they talk. But the way to bridge or eliminate the confusion or the gray area is to use analogies, mm-hmm. because pictures don't lie. And I wanted to always, even though I was using words, I wanted to be able to for them to visualize pictures, so there'd be no misunderstanding of what I was trying to get across.
Swing the bat.
We're not going to bunt.
Coach, I've got more to ask. We're going to ask more. You know, in a rare moment like this, of course, I want to delve deeper and get the essence, maybe the, just a tinge of the essence of what moves Coach Dino Babers when we come back from our break. Dear one, we'll get some more. Coach will share. But as you listen, as we listen to him, I think it's imperative for us in a moment like this to take in how these moments of motivation, how the changes of perception, how a near-death experience that he has rivetingly relived for us, giving it to us as though it were in slow motion, and yet it happened in virtual seconds. What does it mean to you? What message does God have to say to you? Coach Babers will be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Never miss our daily episodes on our podcast in iTunes. Just search for The Good Life Hawaii in iTunes or your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really helps promote the program, and we love hearing from our listeners.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yes, you can find out more about Coach Dino Babers at Cuse.com, C-U-S-E.com. You know, this whole idea of reinvention is something that some people speak about from time to time regarding the reinvention of a person's path. I think there are some spiritual underpinnings to it when we talk about a resurrection. But when it comes to hitting some dead ends, or dead ends as they might seem to be in life, some may say that they are not really dead ends, but maybe just starting points of new beginnings, new creations for you. Coach Babers, in your career, in your life, have you ever had a sense that, some things need to be reinvented in the way I speak, the way I think, in the way that I carry myself?
Oh, there's no doubt. I had a major personality change after the accident. I'm not sure it happened all at once, but I just felt like I had died, you know, on that road. And since I didn't, if I would have died on that road, what would I be wishing that I could have changed? Since I didn't die, let's see if you can change those things since you have a second chance. And I just went after it with vigor. I mean, I wanted to have an impression and leave an impression, you know, on the people that I meet. And I wanted to change lives. Money was not an issue. That's not what drives me. It's still not what drives me. Someone said, I've been a head coach for 4 years, and I've been blessed enough to win 4 championships with 2 different teams. I mean, that's 4 for 4. You want to talk how good the man is upstairs? He's 4 for 4. 300 really good, and we're batting 1,000. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger thing is I don't look at it that way. I work hard so I can have an opportunity to stay in front of 105 young men. I have 4 daughters, and I get an opportunity to coach somebody else's son. And if they go through our program, all I want them to do is to be better fathers, better sons, and better husbands than the men that I have on my staff. And I have acquired a staff of men of great cloth. I mean, when you rub up against them, they leave a residue, and that residue is something positive. I thought I'd use that analogy for my brothers on the island. Mm-hmm. But But it's really important that, you know, the people that you make contact with, that when they leave you, they know that there's something different about that guy. And then they may come back and ask the question, and I may be able to open up and tell them and share with them some of the things that we've talked about so far on the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Character. What character qualities have developed in your multi-decade journey to where you are now?
Oh, Danny, I think that's a little... The way I look at it is I read two devotionals every morning. I read mm-hmm. two devotionals. I read two devotionals because I think I need it twice as much as the next guy. You know, I think that the greatest gift that Christianity can give anybody is that you have the ability to fail and to be forgiven, and that you can come back and redeem yourself. I don't think there's any perfect man. There's only one perfect man that's ever walked this planet. It's not me. If it's you, please let me know.
You know the answer to that already.
There you go. But every day I wake up and I try to do good. Every day I wake up and I try to teach the difference between good and bad, right and wrong. And I try to instill that in young men. And I talk about being fair, not unfair. And they get second chances. They deserve second chances. But I let them know that even though I will always give them a second chance, there's some things in society that will not, if you do certain things, they won't let you have a second chance, and you won't be able to have that second chance with me. So I try to be very clear. I try to let them know that it's hard to be a good man. It's so hard to be a good man. And if you fail one day, all you got to do is get up and do the next 99 days in a row, and I guarantee you'll be way ahead of the next guy.
Dino, you speak as a champion. You live as a champion. You've produced champions. Your wife is a champion. Sue Hemingway Babers there at the under Coach Dave Shoji, winning a volleyball championship. Your daughters walk in that same way. But we're blessed today to have Suzanne Maurer. I'm so grateful she's my co-host. Suzanne, you bring a unique perspective. There are people that relate with you and the way that you ask certain questions and the sensitivities you have. In this moment with Coach Babers, what resonates in your heart as some things that you'd like to ask him?
Thank you. I have a couple. Coach, would you mind... And if you don't feel comfortable, it's fine. But would you mind sharing the names of the two devotionals that you're in right now?
Oh, my God, you're going to kill me. They're sitting in the house right now.
Oh, okay. All right, they're devotionals. This is good.
I can walk in there and give it to you. I do got them. In fact, I'll walk in. I'll walk in. I'm on my sales. You ask me the next question, I'll give them to you.
But the next one is... how are you able to share Christ with those 105 young men?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because really it's based off of my public situation with mm-hmm. me being working for universities.
Yes.
I'm really not allowed to present that in that manner. I have to stay neutral because of federal laws and government bodies of university codes and stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's not something that I can just drive 105 men to. It's got to be something that they come to me. I don't force feed them. We have to really stay non-denominational, non-spiritual in a point mm-hmm. in those situations. But they definitely have to come to me. That is not something that I can go to them.
Are you able to pray as a team or no?
The situation is that is frowned upon,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
okay, because of other people's religious beliefs, that is really frowned upon. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus calling.
Love it. I read it every day.
Presence, okay. And my second one is the 1 Year at His Feet devotional by Chris Tigreen.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm not familiar with that. That's excellent.
You're welcome.
Coach.
And one more, Danny. I have one more. At the time of your accident if you're comfortable in sharing, where was Sue in her relationship with Christ at the time of your accident?
We were both far away.
Okay.
We were both. I wouldn't say a bad person, but obviously not practicing. People couldn't look at us and watch our actions and say that they're walking with Christ.
And did she run back to his arms at like the same time you did, or shortly thereafter?
I would say shortly thereafter, following my lead, how I would put that.
Mm-hmm. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Coach, what message of perseverance would you share with someone who is discouraged?
Wow, Danny. I mean, I've had ups and downs in my career that. But let me share this. This is what I'll share about that. Is that I thought I could control everything. I thought I could control my career. I thought I could take step one, step two, step three, step four, and when I got to step 10, I'd be exactly where I wanted to be. And without any spiritual presence, I thought I could get there, manipulate it. And by not putting it in his hands, I had a tremendous fall in my career, rock bottom, after almost 15 years. I say 15 years in it, rock bottom, and was buried for another 8 years, kind of like in the belly of the whale, brother. I mean, just barely surviving, just enough. And everything changed when I stopped trying to control it and I gave him control. You know, it was kind of ironic because it's right at the time of that song where the young lady said, gave Jesus the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, take the wheel.
And I just, yeah, there you go. And I just, I just stopped. And after that accident, I said, you drive it. I'm not driving it. And I'll never, the one thing I remember getting on my knees and saying is that, you know what? He gave me a word when I was younger and he said, coach. He never said head coach. He didn't say head coach. He just said, coach. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that added the first part of that and thought and tried to become a head coach. Mm-hmm. And what I did from 2008 on is I just want to be the best assistant coach in the country. I totally blocked everything out, and all I wanted to do was be a fantastic coach for him. Mm-hmm. And after I stopped trying to manipulate everything and trying to stop controlling everything, and I let him have the wheel, everything started to happen for me.
I think there's a profound word in that, because every once in a while, Coach Babers, I want to grab the wheel myself in my own life, you know, I don't think I'm speaking only about myself. I think there might be some others who might say, Danny, you too, Coach
right.
Babers, you too, you know,
right.
So when the time comes, it just almost seems to me like there is an entrusting of favor that God has given. After taking you through or carrying you through or guiding you through this very, very low time, I would imagine there would have been times of self-doubt.
Right. There was, when that time happened for me, Danny, there was a peace.
Really?
You would think that I've given up all hope and I had settled in, there goes that word, in my ways. But what it was, there was a peace. When I, from 2009, I didn't become a head coach till 2012, but there was just a peace about me. There was a calmness that let me let things start to radiate, things start to shine. Mm-hmm. And I think that I lifted that dark cloud of unsuccessful yuck. Mm-hmm. I he raised me out of that stuff, that mud, that junk. And washed me off and cleaned me up and let the true me shine through with him in the lead. You know, the other thing I want to share before we stop is, you know, I've been in two situations, besides my first job, I've been in two situations where I've had numerous people coming at me 1 year to make a decision. And in both of those situations, there was a peace over me. And, you know, one job would say no, and another job would say maybe. And I just didn't worry about it. I knew that the right thing would come to the forefront, and that's because I was letting him choose and not me.
Mm-hmm. Coach, when we come back from our break, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about vision. You are a man of vision. To be able to speak with the power and the clarity that you're able to speak, there's got to be a great vision. And I think we need vision in our lives. Sometimes people, we come to a place when we lose our vision, or things get very blurry. It's hard to navigate, through. When we come back from our break, more from Coach Dino Babers. You might be tuning in right now. Maybe you caught the tail end of this segment, maybe the last segment, and you say, hey, Danny, how can I get this whole program? You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. This program, I'd encourage you to share it. You're a football lover. You're a sports lover. You just are a lover of life. This will inspire and encourage you. Pass it on to a family member or a friend. I'm with Coach Dino Babers, head coach of Syracuse University football team. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Do you have a need that you would like prayer for? We have a dedicated prayer team who prays for and encourages everyone who needs some encouragement. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and use the Contact Us page to send your prayer request. May the Lord bless you.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Program. I'm so glad you're with us today. I'm joined with my co-host Suzanne Maurer and our guest, Coach Dino Babers, the head football coach of Syracuse University. Vision. Coach Babers, what is your vision for your program? What's your vision for the future?
You know, the one thing that I've always been blessed with is I've always found a way to motivate young people. And my vision is always to move these young men forward. I have such a great love I'm honored to be in front of them. It's not something that I take for granted. And, you know, I work every day on trying to be the best person that I can be, so someone will feel like I deserve to be in front of them one more year. Mm. And the reason why winning is not winning at all costs, but I call it winning the right way. Very important that we win the right way, not mm-hmm. that we just win. And the reason why winning is so important to me is that every time I win, they give me more time to be in front of these young men. That's my value. That's my payoff for doing a good job of coaching them and developing them and nurturing them as young men, young fathers, and young sons. So those are the things that get me going. Those are the things that charge my battery. I love my staff. When I lose one, and he goes on to bigger and better things, I'm always looking forward to those guys having success. And when I bring a new one in, I'm always eager to nurture and bring him along so that he can fit in with the family, the La Familia, the mm-hmm. Ohana.
Mm-hmm. Mm. When you think about leadership, as a student of leadership, and as one who others study and will study, on leadership? What are a couple, three, maybe characteristics that you look at and you think, you know, those are the stellar qualities?
You know, I think there is I've always had trouble with this word, conceit and self-confidence. And what's the difference? I mean, you're conceited, you brag about your confidence. You don't want to be conceited, but you do want to have some self-confidence. And self-confidence is someone that knows how to get a job done or knows how to get a task done, but he's not going to brag about it. You know, everyone else is going to brag for him. He doesn't have to do it for himself. I think that when it comes to leadership, you need to have some self-confidence about whatever your profession is, if you're going to be in front of some other people. I think that there's got to be a truth about you. And then there has to be a delivery system. Sometimes you have to say things that people don't want to hear. And if you don't have a variety of delivery systems, there's certain people that you're not going to be able to reach. And I think that really good leaders reach more people than others. And that means you have to have a variety of delivery systems to be able to tell all types of people the truth so they can have an opportunity to grow.
Scripture. What's your favorite scripture verse?
Oh, my God, there's so many. Oh, my God, there's so many. Oh, golly, Danny. You got me on that one. Let me think here now. So many. We can do all things. I mean, I don't want to sound, all of them jump out at me when you say stuff. They all jump out at me. Mm-hmm. But the stories, you know, belly of the whale and not doing what he was supposed to do and the waves are rocking, the fishermen are mad. Get him out of the boat. He's letting, you know, guys are... It's when, you know, when God tells you to do something, you still want to be hard-headed, you know. Those are the stories that just get me, you know. The son that wanted his inheritance, I forget the word, and he spent everything, and then dad runs to him and puts the ring on him and kill the giant lamb, and then the whole story, you think the whole story is about the son that spent everything, but it's really about the son that got selfish and was teed off that the dad went back and showed so much joy for a guy who was so foolish. And the whole thing about forgiveness and stuff, those are the stories that just, you know, I'm a story guy. That's the stuff that just gets me.
Yeah.
You know, it moves me. And then, you know, faith of a mustard seed. And if you tell the mountain to move, it'll move. You got to have faith. The word faith is strong, and it is everything. I mean, that's my word. I mean, that's the thing I wrap myself around is faith. You know, I can't, again, because of I call it faith is belief without evidence. Now, I know it's spiritually things that are unseen, but again, with my job, you can't tie in all the Bible verses because you get in trouble for that. But, you know, I kind of changed it a little bit to belief without evidence, so that I can say it in open meetings and not get in trouble by people. But I'll tell you what, if out of all the words in the good book, there's a lot, love, but the word faith really, really moves me.
Mm-hmm. Someone today, I'm just envisioning, this is sort of a story, I'm just painting a picture. I'm trying to apply, Coach Dino Babers, what you do all the time. But if we can envision someone hitting a real rocky point in life, maybe they're down, they're very low, and in that point, in their dejection, they're sitting in their couch, you know, next to a coffee table. There's a lamp on that coffee table, and you're seated next to them. It's just the two of you. And a moment comes when their hearts open up to what you may have to say to them. they're hurting. What do you believe God would want you to say to that dear person right now in their condition?
You know, have faith. I have been there. I've been at rock bottom. I've been hurt. I've hurt people. I've been there. And it looks so bad now. And all you have to do is forgive yourself so that others can forgive you. Others will forgive you long before you forgive yourself. And that's how the dark one wins. You have to learn to forgive yourself so that others can lift you up. As long as you keep the ball and chain on your ankle and you're walking around with the sin and the regret, we're never going to be able to move you from that spot. You've got to let that anchor go. You've got to release that so you can rise again and let other brothers and sisters help you. You know, one thing I don't want to get off this show without talking about a Hawaiian brother that really helped me with my faith, Brian Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really helped me with my faith. And when I was at Baylor, we used to get into deep, deep conversations. And when one was weak, the other was strong. And when the one was strong, the other was weak. And we really helped each other. And one of the analogies, he came to me one time with a problem. And I said, Brian, I said, you can't go down. You can't go down. You're a strong man. You're going to do this. And he looked at me and he says, why do you think I'm so strong? I said, because you're my trunk. I said, I'm just a branch off your tree. You're the trunk. I said, if I go down, it's just a branch. The tree is still going to live, but the trunk goes down. All the branches die. I said, you're the trunk, brother. I said, you're David. You know, I'm Jonah. You can't go down. You just can't, you know. And I mean, I'm Jonathan. You just can't go down. And, you know, we talk to each other like that. And we still talk to each other a lot. And I think that the ability to gather, men gathering together and talking about Christ and sisters gathering together and talking about Christ, not that it's not great in a co-ed situation, but I think when you separate the sexes and you can get right to certain subjects, because men think like men and, you know, women sometimes think like women, I think you can really get to the heart of the matter. And I think there's nothing stronger than men, you know, getting together and speaking the word, and young ladies getting together and speaking the word.
Mm-hmm. Brian Norwood. Wow.
Oh.
Brian Norwood, he has his legacy at the University of Hawaii as well, just like you do, Coach Babers, and so many others who you could mention that have had such integral part. But when you talk about it in that way, how the Lord will bring certain special people at certain special times in our lives to build us up, to encourage us, to lift us, keep us from faltering to a point of ill repair. Mm-hmm. And today, Coach Dino Babers, you have done that for us. And you have done that for our dear listener right now as they sat at the coffee table with you. Coach Babers, thank you so much for being with us today.
Danny, thank you so much. It's such a blessing. And let me say, just to watch that young boy grow up into such a powerful and strong, godly man. I mean, what joy I bring. You bring everyone else and your show. And you know, I know a lot of your history, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of your history. And when you talk about character and strength, I know your father. I knew your mom. I know your family. I know your brothers. Hey, mm-hmm. you know how strong your history is. I call it the history. Your history is strong, brother. It's like that force. The force is strong in you, like your father before you. Do you feel me, Danny?
Thank you.
Bless you.
You're welcome, brother. You're welcome.
D. Dear one, I hope, as you've heard Coach Babers, indeed, whom I respect so deeply, so dearly, that you were inspired by his story today. Mm-hmm. Head football coach of Syracuse University. You can find out more at Qs.com. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. You know, if you haven't done so yourself, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Coach Dino Babers. Find out more at Qs.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just